Oh, test. There we go. Woo! Man, these things intimidate me. All right. It is amazing that we're here. Now, Barin, don't judge me. I'm a crier. I just had to get that out, okay? I was sitting at lunch Friday, actually, and I just couldn't believe I was here, and it took me about 30 seconds just to get it out. Because for 4 years, when we say we're coming to South Africa, everybody goes, "Are you going to Cape Town?" And now I can say yes, and I still can't believe it. It's amazing to spend time with the children, the teens. It blows me away every time. I learn more from them than I'll ever teach them. And I'm very, very grateful for that. I believe I will get to romp in heaven, get my wings, fly, drive a Formula One car, all because of them. And so I'm very, very grateful. I'm also very grateful. Thank you so much just for the hospitality you've shown us. Moore's family, thank you so much for spending time with us yesterday. So fun. I got to, be on Table Mountain. There was no wind. It was beautiful. I could see the point. I even got to converse a small minute with a Dusty. Dusty? Right. Okay. Yeah, kind of cute, but little thing. Anyway. So that was fun. So grateful to Mike and Daphne. Thank you so much for your hospitality. I keep telling them over and over, I'm afraid of being insincere, but I don't think I can get any more insincere. And I want you to know that we know what we want to be like when we grow up. So thank you so much. Today, I'm not sure why you came. Maybe it's because Mom threw you in the car. Maybe it's because a friend invited you from work or, I don't know, the gym or wherever. Or perhaps you come out of habit. Or maybe become, I would imagine, most of us, because we want to worship and fellowship. But there's one way I want you to leave. You probably saw a hint of it a minute ago. Are we on here? Boom. It's working. See it up there? Is it supposed to be here? Oh, it's behind me, so it won't be here. Okay, good. Just so I get all that orientation. I want you to walk away more of this. Oh, wait a minute. What church have I gone to? This is not the one I came last week. Is this a new teaching? Oh, my gosh. I want you to redefine what this word means. And I want you to cement what you already know it means. Now, couple of things as we get started. The week, as you saw in the video, was I Connect. And it was all about connecting with the Father, connecting with each other, and connecting even with ourselves. Connecting sometimes with nature, sitting out, understanding the stars, connecting with fun, our own laughter, getting used to our own laughter. And that was kind of sinister. But anyway, it's getting used to and connecting, because sometimes we're all these different things, we're not even comfortable with them. The fairy thing we're going to talk about today, we're actually more comfortable with to our sadness. The week was actually predicated and built on two things. It was built on love the Lord your God. This is called the Shema to Jewish people. And then it starts out, Shema O Israel, Adonai Elohunu, Adonai Echad, which means, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. And he goes on, and Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor. That's the second, and it's like it. And there's this little phrase in there that says, as yourself. Powerful when it comes to connecting. The other thing it was predicated on, and we heard throughout the week, was I learned it many years ago, and it's called Ubuntu, but it's a person is a person because of another person. Well, who's that other person? Isn't that you? I'm a person because of you. Somebody else is a person because of somebody else. We each own that part. So you can see the power of self, of you, how you fit in this equation. If you hate yourself, well, good luck loving your neighbor. But many of us walk around, we're judgmental, harsh, don't like looking in the mirror. And therefore, we cannot recognize another person. And that's what the week was about, but that's also what today is about. Now, let's get into the scriptures a little bit. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul's writing to Timothy. And earlier in chapter 1, he talks about the Spirit, talks about that you've been given this grace since the beginning of time. Now, that's just the whole quiet time right there. Good gosh. Start thinking about that. Since the beginning of time, God decided to give us a present. And he goes on too, and he mentions that that all of Asia, the province of Asia, has deserted me. And then he starts out chapter 2 with this one verse. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." 2 Peter chapter 3, turn there. Thank you. Chapter 3, he starts talking. He says, above all, interesting, we sang the song, above all, you got to understand this. There will come a day, the scoffers will scoff. And 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years, and four will be warned, and all of this. And in the middle of it, he talks about how when we look forward to what? To heaven, because of this. We're going to be in heaven. God has saved us. And then verse 17, he ends. He says, therefore. Now, anytime you see therefore, you always want to go and read above it so you'll see what it's there for. Just a tip. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two incredible concepts stick out here. It's the fact that we got to be strong, secure, and grow. Securing and growing. It's an amazing concept here when you put it all together. Now, I think we get grace. I do. Because we understand what it's like to get a present, right? You know what it's like to get a present? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember my first bike. 6 years old. I come running in. I wake my dad up. It's Christmas time. And I wake him up and I say, "Oh, Dad, it's Christmas." And he goes, "Did you see anything?" And I went, "Uh-oh, I was supposed to see something." I run back out. There's a bike sitting there. I run back in. There's a bike. He says, "Well, go." I run back in. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I got a bike. My dad showed me grace. My dad was not a wealthy man. He delivered mail. He didn't have an education. He graduated from high school. He did it with 3 A's and 3 F's. I don't know how he did that. Somehow he knew, but he's a charmer and he makes a friend. I'll bet he knew the counselor. Hey, just hook me up there. Anyway, so I'm sure he got that. I look back and I go, how did he do this? How did he afford with the kids and everything? And I thought, that's grace. You give presents too. You know what it is to get something and to give something without warrant. What I don't think we understand is how to be strong in the grace. I don't think we understand the concept. We know to grow in the grace, but what does it really mean? If I were to say stop and tell the person next to you, here's what I think it means to be strong in the grace. I bet we come up with something, but I think it's something that we need to spend time on. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah, so let me tell you what I think. All right. I think it's being more prideful. Oh, I'm back to that word again. And you're looking at me going, I'm still not sure I'm in the right place. And this guy hangs out with our kids at camp. Oh, boy, we got to talk tonight. So let's explore this idea. All right. So let's define pride. You see, I think that grace solves a problem. What's that problem? It's a little three-letter word. Sin. It's where we miss the mark. It's where we're not like God. It's where we decided to leave the garden. Why in the world did we do that? I mean, we didn't have to work. We didn't have to worry about feeding ourselves. We didn't have to worry about putting on the right clothes, having the right shoes. I mean, none of that. And yet we wanted to leave. So it's in us. And grace solves that problem. Okay, well, let's define that a little bit more. What's the root of every sin? I could argue that it's pride. Because selfishness comes from there, vanity comes from there, the lust comes from there because it's all about me and my pleasure. I mean, you just name it. It all comes down. In fact, Proverbs 8:13 says what? God hates pride. Ooh, it's a strong word. I don't think he just wrote it. Well, I don't like pride very much. I think he had some conviction. I think that's what Satan, could you imagine being there the day that Satan got thrown out of heaven? Oh, you prideful dog. Boom, out of heaven. Bow, done. That would have been, the largest thunderclap in the world. It's what got him because he thought he was better, knew more. Pride is a problem. And yet, I want you to be more prideful. Okay, let's define pride. I need some volunteers. I'm not going to embarrass you. You can do this. I promise you. I need 3 volunteers. Who can I get? Marley, I talked to you earlier. Marley, where are you? Come on up here, Marley. All right. Ross, you want to do it? Okay, come on, Ross. I need one more. Do I have a brave adult? Come on, come on. All right. Nicholas, is it Nicholas? Come on. Okay. All right, so Ross, right over here. So you can see your handsome face. Wave at your mama. All right, Marty. Nicholas, right here. Okay, now, we're going to define pride. I've been studying this for 3 years. And I'm not saying I know it all, but I am feeling more and more versed on this in application in my own life. And this past summer, in fact, we spent the entire 6 weeks of camp, 1,000 kids come through, and we talked. It was entitled Selfie, but it was all about the self. It was all about what we think about ourselves, all about this concept. Okay, so I defined pride. I looked in the Oxford. I looked in all these dictionaries, and I came up with 3 definitions, and they're going to help us. Okay, the first definition is this. Okay. Satisfied at one's own achievements. I did something well. Ross, what does it look like when you do something well? What does it look like? Look, yes! It took him 10 seconds, a tenth of a second to do that. But what you probably didn't see, if I were to turn him this way, his head went like this. Okay? That's good. His shoulders are back. He's smiling. His head is up. Do you sense the confidence, the satisfaction? In a tenth of a second, boom, well done. Well done. Handsome too. Come on. All right. So satisfaction at one's own achievements. The second definition is conscious of one's own dignity, or we might call it self-respect. So when you have dignity and self-respect, what does that look like? Oh, did you see that? with a hint of bashfulness. I mean, it's charming, and she's cute anyway. You know, we know what it looks like. Again, the head's up. Okay. I lifted. I want you to know that I'm here, but it's not arrogant. In fact, there's even a hint of I feel sort of uncomfortable at this, but it's just a... See? I mean, it's... I have dignity. I know who I am. I know who my name is. All right. Now, last one, Nicholas. I give the hardest one to the last one because sometimes people have to go, so no pressure. All right. The last one is an excessive opinion of oneself. What's that look like? Excessive opinion of oneself. Yeah. Man, I think that was a record. Usually they sit there and go. Anyway, all right. Now, what did you see different? Okay. Don't get near me. And he gave you a little bit of this. Yeah, it wasn't up straight looking right out. He was like, mm-hmm, yeah, Okay? And we laugh. But the pride is not hard to define. We did it in tenths of a second. And they did a beautiful job. Let's give them time. Thank you. All right. Go ahead. All right. Go sit down. All right. Now the question is, now that we've defined it, now we have to say, well, which part of that is sin? Because obviously grace solves it. So, Mr. Ross here, I'm satisfied with my own achievement. Is that sin? Is that wrong? Really? You believe that? Okay, I just want to make sure. I don't believe so. I don't believe it's wrong at all. I believe that giving glory to myself is wrong, but satisfaction is okay. Because doesn't God want me to be happy? Yeah, all right. So, thank you, Ross. We'll move on. Marley. Did I roll the R right? I practiced that all week. All right. So, we have conscious of one's own dignity, self-respect. Oh, you did that so well. Is that wrong? Is it wrong? No, not at all. Having self-respect, I mean, having the ability to say that I know who I am is completely right. And I'm going to prove some of this, okay? I'm even going to put it to the Jesus litmus test, so just hang on. All right, so those two we're good with. This last one. Is it wrong to have an excessive opinion of yourself? Yeah, isn't it funny? That one we got down. Yeah, we know. We know what it looks like. We know what attitude looks like. We know what all of that. Now, when you hear the word excessive, do you typically think high or low? Yeah. In fact, that arrow will go down right now. Oh, ooh, that was perfect timing. Okay. Yeah, we typically think high. Man, you are arrogant. You think everything. You think you're that and all of a bag of chips. And we walk around, and in fact, that chin never drops. I mean, and girls kind of do it like this. You just better back on off of me. I mean, you see? I mean, we know it's all excessive. All right, consider this, please. There is a man who wrote a book called The Self-Esteem Book, and he traveled all around the world. And he asked girls, women, he asked them many questions, but he asked them this one question. He said, do you think you're beautiful? Do you think you're beautiful? 4% said yes. Another 7%, 7 out of 100 said, I'm not comfortable with saying it, but I'm okay with you saying it. 89 out of 100 across cultures, across ages said, no, I am not beautiful. Sound excessive? High? Number one reason that people are sexually immoral. Having sex outside of marriage or going on these wild one-night flings and just being immoral in this way. Number one reason. There's many, but the number one. To gain confidence. Yeah, I can swag a little bit. There's another one. Number one reason for all addictions, all, name one, pornography, gambling, shopaholics, I mean, on and on and on, internet, gaming, can't walk away, lottery tickets, I mean, you name it, the number one reason they do it, because they don't think well enough of themselves, they have a low self-esteem, and it just helps me to feel better, even when I lose, at least, you know, I'm doing something. And these are surveys across cultures. The fastest growing drug among 12 to 7-year-old boys. I tried to find this if this was around the world. This was mostly in the States. But it proves a point, I believe, nonetheless. Can anybody take a guess what it is? If you know, if you heard me say it, don't say it. Does anybody want to take a guess? What is it? Drug. No, not marijuana. Yes. What is it? Meth. No. No. Here it is. Steroids. You know why? Because we all want to look like these. We want six abs. I have one ab. I'm working it. Anyway, we all want, yeah. And so as a boy, you know what? That's what the ads say. That's what the movies say. We all got to look like this. We got to, why? Because we don't think enough on the inside that we got to change the outside. And we're going to do it illegally and harmfully. Now, this summer, I told you, we talked about this topic all summer long. And we did a survey. Never done this in the history of camp. So we polled 800 11 to 18-year-olds, and we asked them one question. Well, it's a couple, but this one. Do you magnify your weaknesses and minimize your strengths? Now, these are predominantly kids raised in the church. Okay? Kingdom kids. Mostly healthy families, parents who are trying. I mean, you get the situation. It's pretty good, probably a lot different than those polls we just heard. And yet, 65% said, yes, I magnify my weaknesses and I minimize my strengths. Almost 7 out of 10. And so you see, I submit to you this. I submit to you that excessive, low self-esteem, or what I want you to start calling weak in the grace. Quit using the word insecure. Find it in the Bible. I can't. The only word related was the one we just read, secure position. I don't find insecure in the Bible. I do find weak in the grace, strong in the grace. I boast in my weaknesses. Thank you so much. Woo! I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. You played right in. We did not talk. Plan that. I think that God is trying to tell us something that we need to grow. And it's what keeps us from connecting. It's what causes us to either be absolutely not connected, or it's what troubles our connections. Because we are so weak in the grace, or we are so low in our esteem of ourselves. No wonder we can't love our neighbor. No wonder we can't make a friend. No wonder we can't feel connected to God. And none of us are immune from this. None of us. Okay, so now that we understand the problem a little bit, let's start thinking how this happens. Turn over to James 1. I think it's pretty clear from the scriptures, Isaiah and a few other places, that what blocks our connections with each other and from our talk today, let's go back to that word sin. Let's go back to all of them, but we can lump them into this idea of being prideful, or pride. And James 1 gives us a hint on how this happens. How does this happen? It's like, okay, yeah, we're kind of in our DNA. We know that from the garden. We kind of know that from our own personal experiences. We know that even the most confident of us still have to deal with sin. We have to deal with what's missing the mark in regards to God. But in James chapter 1, actually start in verse 13. He says, when tempted, and by the way, we spend a lot of time talking about this, temptation's not wrong. Temptation's temptation. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I read this and I thought, wait a minute. Conception takes two. What is desire mating with? What's happening here? And then I thought, this is how it happens. Desire's on this corner. You know, street corner called desire? Anyway. And their desire is hanging out. And along comes low self-esteem, and she's looking okay, and here she comes. And desire says, ooh, and starts following. Excuse me, how are you today? Looking mighty good. What are you doing tonight? And they hook up. And perhaps it is a one-night stand. But look what it gives birth to. it gives birth to sin. And what that tells me is that process can be stopped. Just like some of you have made the decision when you became a Christian, that my part of my life is done. That's called repentance. And so when low self-esteem comes along, what happens is we need to grow. It needs to be a good self-esteem. It needs to be a self-esteem strengthened in grace so that when desire says, hey, baby, what's happening? You go, don't need you. And you just walk right on. And then there is no conception. But I believe it starts with a low self-esteem. Now, the women in the room are saying, okay, I kind of get this because I'm a little more in tune to this. You men are still trying to figure out what low self-esteem means. What you talking about? None in here. Yeah, there is. Most of the time in women, it comes out quiet. Most of the time in men, it just comes out either arrogant or just conceited. Or I'm not letting you know any of my weaknesses. Isn't that interesting that Byron read that scripture? It's a beautiful scripture. It's about being me. It's about being vulnerable. It's about saying, this is who I am. I'm a sinner. Yeah, you know what I'm like when I get in my darkest moment? My private life, if I'm not doing well with Jennifer or if I'm feeling really insecure, I really struggle with lust because I was abandoned when I was a kid. I wasn't held much. And so the stroking, my love language is affection. And so I need that. It makes me feel like a person. When I was, before I was a Christian, that's the way that I got my self-esteem. And the sad part is I wasn't very good at it. I didn't have many girlfriends. So it was a double whammy. In my public life, I'm afraid you're going to know who I am, and I'm going to seem like a fake. I'm afraid to tell the kids at camp, well, let me just tell you something about me. Because you might think I'm a fake. Or I sit with well-respected people, or man, Paul could be up here talking, and yeah, I get a chance to talk. And I mean, it's like, and then I get insecure, and my self-esteem goes down, and then I start thinking, well, gosh, nobody's ever called me an evangelist. Well, nobody's ever titled me a deacon. All I do is run a little camp and hang out with young 9-year-olds. And And I spent 3 years saying I'm not going to do that. And the other day I got in the car, and I got to talk about the fact that, you know, you see people, and this is how we are, I'm just going to be honest. I got in the car and I got to finally, after 4 years, spend some time with Justin Renton. I've seen him preach before 18,000 people, have known his name for a long time, come to Joburg, never spent a lot of time with him. Why? Because we're into camp and talking about it. But I have a lot of respect for him. And I've appreciated him from afar. So I sat in the car and I just laughed and I said, oh my gosh, 10 years ago, I'd have been frightened to death to sit in this car. And he looked at me and goes, huh? Yeah, that's how most people, I mean... Paul would do the same thing. Oh, man, you get up here and preach better than me. And he'd go, what? I mean, it's just, that's how we are. You do it at your work, too, when you hang around the CEO. Oh, my gosh, who is that? Or you see, it's how we are. Well, why don't we recognize that? Shout it from Table Mountain and say, that's a weakness. Make me strong because I'm walk strong in the grace of God. And that's what this is all about. All right. Where are we? Boy, I got off my notes a little bit there. That's okay. So let's talk about what strong in the grace means. This is what I think practically that it means. And then I'm going to show you the Jesus litmus test. I believe it means keeping your identity in Christ despite your imperfections. You don't run as fast as somebody? So what? You sit there and think, oh my gosh, I'm a parent. My daughter right now, both of my kids were baptized around 16. My daughter's 21. My son's 19. My daughter's struggling. And she'll tell you this. I'm not putting anything out in the world that she won't tell you. She just finally was, I don't know what I believe. Oh my gosh, did I blow it as a parent? Are you kidding me? What did I do wrong? No, I'm not going to lose my identity in Christ. Could I have done things better? Sure, I'm sure I could. But I'm not going to go through my life doubting that. Now, where I need to change, I'll change. But you see, even that takes an identity in Christ. But even if you don't have an identity in Christ, maybe this is your first time at church, or maybe somewhere on this front row, you're not quite there yet. That's okay. You can still find some sort of identity. Why? Because your parents have taught you well? because you've been raised in the church, because you can grow your character. All good character comes from Jesus anyway, because he established it. If you don't believe that, just look in history. Many laws are based on the Bible. I mean, it's amazing the cultures that are based on the scriptures and the truth. What we've done is just distorted all the way along. Okay? But self-esteem can still play a role in your life. What else is it? And this is my favorite one. It's evaluating yourself as God sees you. Do you realize how many judgment statements and judgment thoughts you do in a day? This is something we talked about a lot. And we got to the point, even in our household, Jennifer and I are kind of like, we'll say something. Oh, man, that was stupid. You ever do that? Oh, doggone it, that was stupid. She'll go, was that a judgment statement? Oh, yeah, that's right. How about the word should? How many of you use the word should? Oh, I should have done that. You know what that does? It implies that there's something wrong there. Now, if there is, great, change it. What I'm saying is, how about I would have liked to have done that? It's not so judgmental. But that's how we're brought up. Man, you go to school about that preteenage and you start getting mean and you start comparing and judging and evaluating and pointing. And by the time you've matriced out and you're in varsity, you're kind of schizophrenic. I don't even know who I am. How do I even dress myself? And then you start regaining a little composure and you kind of get out there. And then you start your first job and you're like, oh my gosh, man, performances, I got to do this. I don't know, I'm afraid to mess up. What if I don't know? We just do so much judging. We evaluate it. And yet, the Bible says that God sees Jesus. We are more than conquerors. We're righteous, blameless, without fault. In James or John, go look it up. It says you're even without sin. What? That's where I am in this 3-year process. I'm trying to figure out what that means. I'm without sin. Do you realize that I can get to the point of being so strong in the grace that I can look at desire as it walks by and flirts with me and say, and I can say, don't need you. Isn't that what Titus said, 2:11? The grace of God teaches me to say no to ungodliness. So I can actually get sin in my life just by walking strong in the grace of God. Woo! Show me what self-help program can do that. All right. Now, let's go to the Jesus litmus test, okay? So here we go. Was he satisfied in his own achievements? Think right now of a scripture that tells you yes or no. Hebrews 12:2, he's for the joy set out before him, he endured the cross. Don't you get joy, satisfaction? It's not just happy for the moment. No, I'm satisfied. He rises up out of the water, and look what God says to him. He says, I'm satisfied at you, but then he lives a life with that in mind. And he says, I am my Father's Son. I know why I came. And when he does things, you just get this sense of satisfaction, of pleasing the Father. In fact, Paul put it really nicely, I think in Corinthians. He said, I make it my goal to please the Lord. And goals, reaching goals are satisfying. Okay, so check. We got that one. How about the second definition? You remember this one? So well done. Was he conscious of his own dignity? Oh, yeah, Luke chapter 4. Do you realize what he did there? This is when he walks into the synagogue and he opens the scroll and he begins to read that freedom for the oppressed will happen. The blind will see that there will come a Messiah. And he rolls it back up and he says, that is fulfilled in your hearing today. Ooh, man, I mean, literally all hell breaks out in the synagogue. Why? Because who do you think you are? You're the son of Joseph. That you marries your mother. What are you? And they drive him to the edge of the cliff. I wish I was there. Doggone it. And how did he look? I don't think he went around and went, I think he just lifted his chin, looked at his chin, and he says, not my time. You're talking about conscious of your own dignity. He even tells the Pharisees when they say, you're from your father a liar. I said, no way. I know where I'm from. That's where you're from. Don't call me Beelzebub. I know where I'm from. You don't even know where you're from or where you're going. I mean, do you sense? Yeah, okay, so check. We got that one. Now, was he excessive in his opinion? Did he have too high of an opinion? No. What does Philippians say? I cannot even grasp equality with God. He called him Father. He said, no one is good, not even me, only the Father. And yet, was it excessively low? Do you think he would have went to the cross and endured flogging if it was excessively low? No. So I think it passes the Jesus test. In closing, you are meant to be you. You were created in the image of the God Almighty, of the great I Am. You were designed for a purpose that's to be achieved by you. You were designed to be dignified and have self-respect, and that is to be earned in what you think. But it is given by the grace of God so that you can think that way. There was a young, there was a dad who had a son and a daughter. And he loved to come home and play with them. And one night, really a string of nights, he was quite busy and brought work home. And so he couldn't play with them. And they would come out and bug him. Oh, Dad, can we play? Can we play? No, I've got things to do. I've got to take care of this. And they kept bugging him. Finally said, what can I do to give them, occupy them for a few minutes? So he looked around and he saw this magazine and the front cover had a big world map on it. He said, well, I'm going to cut that all up. And he made puzzle pieces. And he put them down and he said, okay, you guys go over there and take care of that puzzle. And he's like, good, that'll keep him busy. I can get this done. And a few minutes later, his kids come walking in. Dad, we're done. He's like, what? That cannot be. That's impossible. How did you do that? And the little girl said, well, on the back of the map, there was a picture of a person. And the son said, yeah, and we just put the person together and the whole world came in place. And you see, you're that puzzle piece. This is the thing that was given away at camp. It's on the shirts. Each one of you are the puzzle piece that makes the world put together. God died for you so that you could be full of grace, be strong in their grace. You could even grow in it. There's no cap. There's no limit. Walk around like a conqueror. No, don't do that. Walk around like more than a conqueror. Be satisfied at what you do. There's nothing wrong with that. God gave you talents. Don't take glory, though. And then you decide when temptation comes, that desire, you look it in the face and you say, you know what? I'm so strong in the grace, I don't even need you. So why don't you just go on and walk by? That is the puzzle piece that I think is missing among our kids, among our parenting, among our lives. And it's a philosophy, it's a conviction that will change your life. So go and be strong in the grace. Thank you.